League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gau Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters.
Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, on the heels of Fred and AJ and the Blitz, we roll into Soccer Matters. Welcome, soccer fans. Great to be back here on ESPN 97.5. And thanks to our presenting sponsors for supporting the global game of soccer on the radio. Danish Inspirations, Amigo Energy, Daspit Law Firm, 7-Up, Bud Light, Bar Munich, and the gorgeous Gale. I've got a couple of great guests tonight on this program. Caleb Porter of the Portland Timbers. They are in the Western Conference Final. They will take on FC Dallas. Greg Berhalter of the Columbus Crew in the Eastern Conference Final will take on the New York Red Bulls. Former New York Cosmos goalie and New York Red Bulls analyst Shep Messing joins us. And we go back to the New York Cosmos, that infamous time period where Pelé, Giorgio Chinaia, and superstardom was at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. The team owned by Warner Brothers, one of the great midfield players, Yugoslavian international, Vladislav Bogosevic, affectionately known as Bogey, will join us tonight. Sam Snow will weigh in on the heading edict that came down here today with heading and youth soccer players. Sam Snow with U.S. Soccer for many, many years. Appreciate having him on the program as well. We stream at ESPN975.com. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-ESPN. Our podcasts are found on iTunes and podcastarena.com. So no more heading for youth soccer players 10 and under. That is one of the topics here that came out from U.S. Soccer. How you enforce that, it's not going to be enforceable. But we'll talk about it tonight here, protecting young players and the heading of a soccer ball. Your thoughts on it, 713-780-3776. And by the way, I know a number of you out there, you are all involved in the youth game, and I want to know what you think about it. And if there's any coaching directors or coaches that want to weigh in tonight here about U.S. soccer and heading going to be prohibited for younger players, let's weigh in on it tonight. MLS playoffs, we'll recap them. Brazil, Argentina, and South American World Cup qualifying this week. I've got Game On for 90. More tonight as we get going here. It is going to be a big night, and it needs your contributions, your opinion here. 713-780-3776. If you're a Dynamo fan, the rumor of Brad Davis potentially going to Sporting Kansas City. Kubo Torres being out there and potentially shopped. The Dynamo said he was not being shopped. Let's talk about it. 713-780-3776. Manchester City draw at Aston Villa in the Premier League. Arsenal draw Spurs in the North London Derby. So after 12 matches, City and Arsenal on 26 points at the top of the Premier League. Leicester City, a great story. Point behind, and then Manchester United 2 points behind after a 2-0 win against West Brom. We can talk about that as well. The nightmare continues at the back end of the table. Chelsea, who are, dare I say it, in a relegation zone battle, 16th out of 20 teams in the Premier League. They're not going to get relegated. Thinking back to last year, though, if you think about Chelsea, and I would love for Chelsea fans to weigh in, Chelsea jumped out to such a great start. They were never going to be caught. But the football they played at the back end of it, yes, it was results-oriented. Yes, they got results. But during the accumulation of all those results, was this a bit of a disguise for maybe what they're going through right now? Was Chelsea not visionary enough then? Not forward-thinking enough then when waltzing to the Premier League title? You know, getting results can mask a lot of deficiency and your thought on the direction of a club in the future. Did they do enough in the transfer window? It's just a thought. But again, winning is a mask for deficiency. MLS playoffs, excellent in the case of two matches. Columbus getting by Montreal dramatically. Kai Kamara, former Dynamo, the star. They will take on New York, who was rather flat, but got a Bradley Wright Phillips goal for a 2-0 aggregate win over DC. That one was never going to be in doubt. DC had nothing on attack. United Toothless, the Red Bulls, one of the lowest salaried teams in the league, have navigated themselves to the Eastern Conference Final. FC Dallas is in the Western Conference Final. You've got 19 and 20 out of 20 teams in the league, in FC Dallas and New York, on the lowest player salary budgets in the league. What a great statement. What a great statement of, yes, it can be done in different ways. No doubt about that. So, it's great. And listen, I'm not bagging on the teams that are buying superstars because you're bringing attention to the league. Whether you lose or not, L.A., Steven Gerrard brings attention. Gio DeSantos brings attention. Robbie Keane brings attention. New York, who's now going to have Patrick Vieira their coach, New York City FC. So let's go with caller number one. Dylan.
Hey, Glenn.
Dylan, you're on the air.
How are you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing good, Dylan. We had a little technical difficulty in here, wrestling with the headset.
How are you doing, Glenn?
I'm very good, Dylan. How are you? What's on your mind?
I'm doing great. Well, I was reading the topic on the under 11, heading the ball and stuff. And my opinion is with younger guys, you got to let the ball be soft for them, and you got to guide them through the process of how to head the ball and not let the ball hit you. You got to hit the ball in a square, balanced way. So I don't know. Different coaches got different way how they want to teach the game.
Yeah, but let's face it. If there's any coach spending an exorbitant amount of time with 7, 8, 9, and 10-year-olds heading, they're not good coaches. You don't need to be engaging that sort of thing with young players that early. It's all about the technical side of it with your feet and your thigh, your chest, and the other areas of the body. So for me, anybody that's doing that early with young kids, they're in the wrong. And anybody worth their salt is not doing that. So to me, this is not that big a deal. I think the biggest piece in all of this is just increased awareness around hand injuries. And let's not accelerate it with little kids that you know, whose brains are still developing. It doesn't need to be done.
Exactly. Well, you know, Glenn, I work with elementary, middle school, high school, and a lot of them, you know, they wasn't taught the right way how to really, you know, head of the ball or how to adjust themselves. And I've been working with them for the past couple of years, basically on really the importance of heading the ball, because the ball can knock you out if you don't know how to really be aggressive with the ball, right?
Yeah. Look, when heading, you're inflicting the power on the ball. You're not letting it smash off your head. You're attacking the ball, and it protects you a little bit. But listen, again, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, don't spend your time on heading the ball. Work on their first touch. Work on their control. Work on their comfort with the ball. That's what you should be doing.
True. But Glenn, how about they having classes for coaches who teach in those age groups? Have classes for them to actually, you know, from professional levels to, you know, go through.
No, look, Dylan, you're right on. This is about education. This is about education. But you got to remember, in our country, the first experience for young soccer players sometimes is with parents who haven't played the game. Okay? Not all the time.
Right.
Now, more and more, we're getting parents who've played the game that are passing it on now, because there has been a lot of turnover in that area. But this is awareness. This is, hey, There's no sense in spending a lot of time, if any time, on heading. It's not going to be able to be policed and enforced. But what we must do is we must protect young people, and there's no need for them to be heading a soccer ball much.
Cool, Glenn. I know we have another phone interruption been coming in and out, but I just want to let you know that, you know, we could come up with better, good ideas for the youngsters to learn the game, and some of the professionals need to step up and step in and give their experience and their work, give back a little volunteer time. But, you know, soccer matters, and it's great to hear it from you, Glenn. Keep up the great work.
All right, Dylan, thank you so much for weighing in here tonight. So Dylan kicking it off here tonight. 713-780-3776. Want your thoughts on the Premier League. Want your thoughts on U.S. soccer and the whole heading issue with young players. Here's something pretty interesting. Player salaries based on player union releases. So the four teams that are left, 11 out of 20 teams is Portland on $5.1 million. 13 is Columbus on $4.5 million. Dallas is 19. And then New York is 20. And they're all under $4 million. So the question is, who would you rather have, Steven Gerrard or Mauro Diaz? The top five spending teams are all out. That's Seattle, New York City, FC. It's L.A., it's Orlando, and it's Toronto. And you know what? Thank goodness those owners are bringing stars to MLS, because it makes an impact. It's creating awareness and excitement. But what we're learning from these four teams that are in the playoffs is that you can get there in other ways. And in the case of Dallas, you got a coach who's done something nobody's ever done, and that is has worked extensively with a number of his rostered players at the youth level, because Oscar Perea was the coaching director of Dallas's youth setup. Then he went to Colorado for a year. He's got complete trust in playing young players. Has no problem doing it. 713-780-3776. Clint Dempsey, Michael Bradley, Jozy Altidore have all gotten money they never could have gotten in Europe. Do you sense that they're getting the pressure that they should? Has the lessened pressure over here hurt their game? And as much as we're confused sometimes with what Jurgen Klinsmann says, he may be right on this one, that he wishes those guys remained in Europe. Because I think organically, all three of those players, without a doubt, and I don't think it's not done on purpose, but I think their foot's off the pedal in MLS a little bit. I know I'm going to get some stick for saying that. And by the way, Toronto went out absolutely slammed by Montreal. And, of course, you know, Ziggy Schmidt's probably going to lose his job in Seattle. 713-780-3776 is the number. Brazil-Argentina in a big showdown. It'll be Thursday. South American World Cup qualifying. Neymar returning for Brazil after serving suspension. Argentina without Lionel Messi, I believe Carlos Apache Tevez as well, and potentially Sergio Aguero. Game will be at the Estadio Monumental in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Brazil has lost to Chile 2-0 and beat Venezuela in Fortaleza in their first two matches. There's parity in South America. It is not easy for Argentina and Brazil anymore. By the way, Argentina lost at home to Ecuador 2-0, their first home defeat since 2009, and I've said it for years. For me, the most arduous qualifying process is South America and CONMEBOL. Top four teams will qualify to Russia, with the fifth place team will play in the two-legged affair against the fifth team out of Oceania. 713-780-3776. All right, let's go to line four. Francisco, what's on your mind? Hi, Francisco. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn. I just had two things I wanted to bring up really quickly. One is, you know, I do believe that the whole youth thing with the heading issue it's a good thing that they're doing that now. But like you said, it can't be completely enforced. But there's a lot of concussions and stuff that happen in soccer. So it's something that is smart that they should be looking into it more. But I also had a question just about what the right time would be to actually start the work on your heading. Because, like, one of my favorite players ever, Jared Borghetti, he played for the Mexico national team. He was a great striker, but more than anything, he was probably one of the best people to use his head that I've ever seen. And it's a skill that is definitely needed, but I was just wondering, like, what the correct age was for that. And then I also had a second question about, I heard today that Chelsea was looking at, or they were possibly thinking about getting Chicharito to try and get him to see if they could help their team. And I don't really believe he is the right choice, because with the pieces that they have right now, it seems like if they can't make it work with them, then Chicharito probably wouldn't help too much. Honestly, I believe what they need is to reinforce that back line.
Do you really think Bayer Leverkusen? Isn't that where Chicharito is? Sorry? Chicharito's having an outstanding season in Germany at Bayer Leverkusen. He's scoring goals. He's not leaving there. They're not gonna pry him away from Bayer Leverkusen, I don't think. And this guy has finally found real peace in his game and is exceeding expectations there. I did see that today as well, that he's a target for Chelsea. But I don't think it's as easy as, hey, just, you know, Chelsea all of a sudden wants Chicharito and they're going to get him. I don't think it's going to be that easy. He's probably very excited about playing regularly at Leverkusen in Germany and scoring goals in one of the greatest leagues in the world. You come back to Chelsea, you don't have European football. Likely, which also is going to be a point of contention for any players considering going to Chelsea. 713-780-3776. Let's go to Will. Will, what's on your mind tonight? Hi, Will.
Hey, how you doing, Glenn?
I'm good, Will. How are you?
Good.
Excellent.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the point you were making earlier about, you know, those American players that kind of got their shot in Europe and, you know, came back to the States and, you know, they're not the same players as far as, you know, production and, you know, their team kind of giving them a pass on, you know, their productivity and whatnot.
Yeah, comment. Go for it. I'm listening.
I think you can kind of compare it to also to the Mexican players from the Mexican League that kind of, you know, have had, you know, the opportunity to actually go over and, you know, expand their game and, you know, I guess make a name for themselves out there. I think one of the reasons why that happens is that, you know, their clubs kind of, you know, sometimes they just want to hold on to them and kind of, you know, try to help out their brand in their home country rather than, you know, bettering the player himself. You know what I mean?
Look, I think there's a lot of different reasons why people go to Europe or don't go to Europe. My point on Clint Dempsey, Michael Bradley, and Jozy Altidore is this. Who can blame them for taking that ridiculous amount of money that's been thrown at them? It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. They're set financially for the rest of their lives, okay? I have no problem with that, okay? But I do think organically they leave more pressure-filled environments to play in MLS, and that's what Jurgen Klinsmann has said, and I don't agree with a lot Klinsmann's doing these days. It's kind of wacky, but that's one thing that is true. I've watched them play this year. You know, dare I say the word entitlement, because I don't think they're those types of men. They're all tremendously talented soccer players, but I mean, when you're getting that fat type of money, how do you remain competitive? And people are probably going, oh, what's he saying? Well, what I'm saying is if you've watched them this year, I think the foot is off the pedal a little bit. I don't think it's contrived and done on purpose. I just think organically, based on the way MLS is set up, it allows players to drift a little bit back towards that as we continue to try and grow the healthy pressure in this country. So I think it's only natural that that's happened. But I think it's easy when you come back here and you're getting paid this kind of money. And again, who blames those guys? I mean, you take it, I'd take it, who wouldn't? It's just like David Moyes taking the job at Manchester United. How can he turn it down? Well, how could Clint Dempsey, Michael Bradley, and Jozy Altidore turn that money down? Pretty tough.
Right, yeah, right on the money. And I also think that Jurgen, you know, what he needs to do is, you know, kind of, you know, start challenging those players as far as, you know, their position, you know, in the national team. You know, start, you know, rotating, you know, those positions and, you know, kind of make them, you know, work for it so that, you know, you can kind of evolve the game of the, you know, U.S. national team, you know, to because, you know, it can get stagnant.
Well, it's in a rough period right now, and we've had down periods with our U.S. national team in the past, 2006 when Bruce Arena was there. It's in a rough period right now, and you know, you start to wonder what the whole vision is. Nobody's really ever laid out the vision except to say, well, we got academies. Tell me what the player development vision is in this country. Somebody needs to lay it out. Listen, thank you very much for your phone call, Will. I appreciate it. We're going to take a break
here.
As we go to break, just a quick hit here. For the Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24-7, the Houston personal injury attorney handling personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents to medical injury, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler accidents, right down to boat and car. DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915, DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in times of stress depending on the circumstances of your accident that you've got a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. Contact the Daspit Law Firm, 713-364-0915, or toll-free, 888-273-1045. We'll take a quick break here. It's a Bar Munich Gorgeous Gale break.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Timo Maas. It's time to get down. This is a great song. Let's let this roll a little bit, Tyler. And as we listen to it in the background, it's a great time to bring in Amigo Energy. They remind you that while November 1st is daylight savings time, any time is electricity savings time for Amigo Energy. Now, this month for Amigo Energy, their featured product is Assurance 24. This program offers a single all-in rate, all usage levels with no customer service or payment fees. You like saving money? I do. This program is ideal for people like me who live in an apartment or for anyone who doesn't use a lot of electricity. If you're tired of getting hit with low usage fees or having to pay fees when you call in your payment, well, Assurance 24 is the program for you. Go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters, enroll today, or call 888-995-9299, 888-995-9299, and sign up for electricity savings today, courtesy of Amigo Energy. All right, so come back. 713-780-3776, Premier League, Dynamo, South American World Cup qualifying, heading with youth players, all on the docket. 713-780-3776, but right now it's time for Game On for 90.
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90.
Well, a lot has been made about the Dynamo and potential changes with MLS star Brad Davis potentially moving on and even Kubo Torres supposedly being shopped, which the organization has not confirmed. Now, the fact is that in every sport in the United States and around the world, this is a commonality. It's even more of a commonality now for a team that hasn't made the playoffs the last 2 years and is in a transition period. It's trying to change it around. And by the way, 2013, the Dynamo don't make the playoffs without one Tally Hall, who single-handedly, in my opinion, won the Dynamo at least 12 points. So the Dynamo have needed to be refreshed. And after many years of excellent teams, and of course, the two that won the MLS Cups in 6 and 7, it's transition time. It's change time. So what are the needs for the Dynamo now transitioning under the new manager, Owen Coyle? For me, and this is debatable, The time is ripe for a number 10 to provide more creativity, ideas, and eye-of-the-needle type passing out of midfield in a central area. More overall team speed is needed. The tempo of games has to change. And matchup? Well, from an athletic perspective, the Dynamo have to get more athletic. Now, real questions revolve around the striker position and what type of striker Owen Coyle wants to lead the line. With a new structure in place, the Dynamo is seeking out more exciting times and the ability to become more relevant in Houston. Identifying and implementing a playing style, getting the right individuals, cohesive team play, it's all a part in the future of the game at the pro level in this country. And that includes player development on the youth side. Change has been made, but more will come. It's no surprise under Owen Coyle, Matt Jordan, and Chris Kennedy. Every aspect of the business has to be scrutinized and pored over to move forward, and that's what the Dynamo are doing. So here's to more great times at BBVA Compass Stadium. Bigger crowds, and to you, the fan, digging deep to understand, support, and provide the healthy pressure to your hometown team. Yes, we can be and should be as impactful as Portland, Sporting Kansas City in this market as they are in theirs. And this should be a time of optimism, excitement, and healthy pressure as a fan. That's game on for 90. I get a yellow card for going over the 90-second mark. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. And I want to hear from you, the soccer fan. What are your thoughts? What do you want the Dynamo to do here in the offseason? We've gotten wonderful examples from teams on lower budgets pulling things off. What is the identity of the Dynamo in the future? This is not an easy turnaround here, by the way. I think people think you wave a little magic potion. And for those who don't think Brad Davis could be a potential to be moved by the Dynamo, I mean, what are you thinking? He's one of the higher played players on the Dynamo. Incredibly talented soccer player. But let's face it, he's at the back end of his career. Do you want to try to get something of value for him now while he still has value? I mean, these are all common pieces. It's the way it works. And maybe for this coach, Brad Davis, if you keep him another year, you're just prolonging what is ultimately going to be a decision to move him on. Why not get some value for him? I want to get your thoughts on this. And by the way, I'm as big a fan as there is for Brad Davis. 713-780-3776. But these are the realities of professional sports. I mean, sometimes when I hear fans, it's like we're treating MLS as a college team. I mean, this isn't college. This is professional sports. People are making money. Jobs are at stake. You know, there's pressure coming from owners. I mean, it's all there. Just because it's not NFL money doesn't mean there's pressure. Pressure's relative. Somebody who's got $50 million, why does he have more pressure than a guy who's making $40,000 trying to feed a family of five? It's all relative. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. Now, many of you woke up this morning and you saw that U.S. soccer, the governing body for our sport here in the United States, announced that there should be no heading for players age 10 and under. It should be limited only to practice for those ages 11 to 13. So they're basically saying not a lot of heading up until 13. Now, this is a directive, and it's going to take effect for those who participate in U.S. soccer's youth national teams, the Development Academy. Those programs only represent a fraction of the millions that play the sport in USU soccer. This is an educational piece and an awareness piece about keeping young soccer players safe. And I've said this a number of times already. Anybody who is working with 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10-year-olds and is spending a lot of time on heading should not be coaching. It's about your feet. It's about the technical side of the game with your feet. Now, here's a quote from U.S. Soccer in a statement that says, explaining it's up to the individual associations to adopt a new policy. There's no policing of this. There's going to be somebody out there tomorrow night throwing headers to a seven-year-old. But this is an educational piece for parents that if there's an exorbitant amount of heading going on with little kids, somebody's getting it wrong. So this all came on the heels of a 2014 lawsuit that was filed against U.S. Soccer, U.S. Youth Soccer, AYSO, U.S. Club Soccer, and California Youth Soccer Association. This is all about reform and this new directive. They want more improved concussion awareness. This is all healthy. This is not a bad thing. It's nothing to get crazy about. Concussion management, protocol, all of this stuff, which needs to be at youth soccer fields as well. And here's what the lead counsel for the plaintiff said. He said the litigation all along, quote, was to focus the attention on U.S. soccer and its youth member organizations. We feel we have accomplished our primary goal. So this is about education, improving safety. So, it took a lawsuit for somebody to start paying attention to this. That heading a soccer ball for little kids doesn't need to happen. It can reduce, and it's essentially about taking care of our young boys and girls. That's what it is. So, it's awareness. Now, the only thing I get worried about is when lawyers get involved with the sport. In this case, I think it's going to ultimately be a good thing. Now, you can take it into player development now and say, oh, it'll put more of a focus now on kids with their feet. Well, let's just hope that a lot of kids haven't been spending their time as a 6-, 7-, 8-, and 9-year-old out at soccer fields heading soccer balls. Because if they are, they may not come back the next day to practice. It might not be fun. Look how long it took. From an archaic standpoint, my days in coaching in youth, we would go to people and we'd say, please, we can't put 8-, 9-, and 10-year-olds on full, large soccer fields. How are they going to enjoy the game running in 90-degree heat, hardly ever touching the ball, not developing their skill set through gameplay? People used to laugh at me, and they laughed at others. All of us guys that were involved with the game, had played professionally, we were laughed at. It's unbelievable. Look how long it took. Finally, it's, you know, age-appropriate fields, and everything is there now. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. Quick word here for Bud Light. Soccer fans, I remind you that Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Bud Light reminds you that, you know what? They've been big partners with me in soccer talk on the radio. Thank goodness for Bud Light. They were there from the beginning. So Bud Light reminds you, come on the show. Don't be afraid to talk. Call in at 713-780-3776. Bring your opinion. There's so much to talk about, and without your opinion, game's boring. We want your opinion here tonight. 713-780-3776. And Bud Light also reminds you, get down to the beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium, whether it's watching the Dynamo, the Dash, international soccer. I mean, we had Argentina and Messi come through. Pretty unbelievable. Bud Light is the perfect beer for whatever happens, and it is the official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And soccer fans, Amigo Energy, again, remind you, November 1st is daylight savings time. Anytime is electricity savings time. So we've gone through daylight savings, and this month's featured product is Assurance 24. The program offers a single all-in rate at all usage levels, no customer service or payment fees. This program, ideal for apartments for anyone who doesn't use a lot of electricity. Tired of getting hit with low usage fees or having to pay fees when you call in your payment? Well, Assurance 24 is the program for you. AmigoEnergy.com/soccer matters. Enroll today or call 888-995-9299. 888-995-9299. Sign up for electricity savings today. Save money with Amigo Energy. We'll take a Bud Light break. We'll also make it a 7-Up break. And we will come back with much, much more. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gau Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 7-Up Bud Light, Bar Munich, the Daspit Law Firm. Of course, Amigo Energy, Danish Inspirations, Contemporary Furniture. Thank you very much for your support of this show. Quick word for Daspit Law Firm. They work for you 24-7. John Daspit is a Houston personal injury attorney. He handles personal injury cases from plant and refinery, medical, industrial accidents, right on down to wrongful death. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915, DaspitLaw.com. And with a Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in times of stress, depending on the circumstances of your accident, that you have a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right to compensation. 713-364-0915, toll-free. Daspit Law Firm at 888-273-1045 in English and Spanish. And we thank you. The Daspit Law Firm, as we welcome you back. We are waiting on Jan Christensen. Maybe it's time now, Tyler. Let's run the Greg Berhalter interview then, maybe. All right? So here's Greg Berhalter of the Columbus Crew, who are now in the Eastern Conference Final. They'll be taking on the New York Red Bulls Sunday. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Another wonderful opportunity to speak with a Major League Soccer manager, one that has the Columbus Crew advance to the MLS Cup Eastern Conference Finals after getting past the Montreal Impact, sets up a great conference championship against the New York Red Bulls, the first leg of that two-game series in Columbus on November 22nd. He's Greg Berhalter, and he joins us now. Greg, thank you very much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Well, just take us through the emotion of that unbelievable match against Montreal on Sunday at Cruz Stadium in Columbus, and sort of take us through the emotion of your team and then sort of what's going on in the city of Columbus with your success.
Sure. Well, you know, we knew it was going to be a difficult series. You know, Montreal, we felt like, is a very good team, and there wasn't going to be much separating the teams. You know, we were a little bit disappointed with our overall performance in Montreal. We felt like we should have gotten more out of the game. Although the result, you know, was an acceptable result. So coming back to Columbus, we knew we needed a win. And, you know, we got off to a fantastic start of the game. You know, we're unlucky not to have the second goal. And then, you know, they scored a goal, which was offsides, and which actually, you know, deflated us a little bit. And then in the second half, we needed a goal. And the guys stayed calm and kept pushing, and we had a penalty kick that we missed. And then, you know, 13 minutes before time, we got the goal that, you know, led it to go to overtime. So overtime was also exciting. I think a lot of back-and-forth play, and, you know, 9 minutes before time, we got the goal that eventually won it.
Do you think games like this can increase the penetration in a market like Columbus? You know, I mean, everybody's got to be talking about this. This was just exciting beyond belief.
Well, I think for the fans, that you know, the 19,000 that were in the stadium, you know, they saw and they were part of an electric atmosphere. And I think that atmosphere and that experience keeps the fans coming back. I know, you know, there's a lot of excitement around the team right now. You know, we really feel the support of the city. And, you know, they're looking forward to the next game against Red Bull.
Well, you know, all us guys in the radio, we love to make predictions and stuff to make it fun. And I remember in the beginning of the year saying to somebody, well, I think I'm going to pick Kai Kamara to get at least 15 goals. And then now he's well over 20, and you're just going, what a remarkable season this guy has had. Just speak a little bit about Kai Kamara. He was briefly here in Houston, but he's really gone on to have one exceptional career.
He has. And, you know, we found the ideal striker for our system. And, you know, when he's moving well and when he's aggressive in the penalty box and when we're getting our fullbacks forward, he's very difficult to deal with. If you saw, you know, the two goals he scored on Sunday night, they were completely different goals. One was going near post and one was going far post. And if you're a center back playing against a guy who's comfortable going to both places, you know, it's very difficult to defend. And as soon as one center back gets pulled out of position and he's isolated with another one, it's trouble for the defense. And he's done a great job all year of getting on the end of things, and his finishing is what I'm most impressed with. You know, he doesn't waste many chances, and this year he's been extremely efficient in the chances that he's gotten.
He's Greg Berhalter, the manager of the Columbus Crew. You'll also remember that Greg played in the World Cup for the United States, international center back, played overseas as well. All right, I'm taking you back into your center back days, and you briefly touched on it there, but playing against the Kai Kamara is difficult. Bring out a little bit more of some of those qualities that he has as a striker beyond going near post and far post that makes him so dangerous.
Well, the first thing is he has great athletic ability. He's one of the fastest guys on the team, and he's one of the most fit guys on the team. He has the highest vertical jump on the team. So, you know, he has the physical attributes to be a top striker. Then you add to it, you know, his skill on the ball and his ability to control balls out of the air, to control balls played into him. You know, he does a very good job of that. And then with his head, you know, he's great. He's very good heading the ball. So, you know, any crosses that are put up, he can get his head on. If we need to play more direct, you know, he's a perfect target point for that as well. And, you know, he's really been focusing on the quality of his movement, making good runs to get behind the defense, to really put the defense, in trouble areas.
Greg, is this a simplistic maybe statement I'm about to make, but is it important for you guys to get penetration in wide areas to pull one of those two center backs off him and get him isolated one-on-one with people?
You know, I think that depends on how the other team plays. I think Montreal was an example of where their center backs, you know, do cover wide areas. You know, some teams you have the midfielders covering wide areas, and then, you know, then it's important that the cross becomes more accurate and that you look to find the available space. You know, when they're pulling a center back out, I think the space opens up a little easier, and then it's extremely difficult to defend against a guy like Kai.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Greg Berhalter joining us. Let's talk a little bit about the opponent, the New York Red Bulls. Some thoughts on them.
I think they've had a great year, and a lot of credit goes to Ali Curtis and Jesse Marsh for what they've done with this team. You know, they obviously being Supporters Shield winners, you know, they've been the most consistent team over the course of the year. And their style is a very interesting style. I love what they did with the team in terms of really being aggressive, pressing, trying to turn the team over in their half, and then create goal chances off those opportunities. You know, we have a completely different style. You know, we're offensive orientated. We want to spread the team, spread opponents open, and move the ball between their lines and really commit numbers forward. So I think they're two conflicting styles. I think, all the games we play against them are tight, and they're going to be, interesting games.
Breakout year for Ethan Finley. People talking about him potentially with the U.S. national team now. Speak a little bit about where this confidence has come, because we've always known him to be a talented soccer player, but now he's getting the results when it comes to goals and a final pass and things like that.
And, you know, he's a perfect guy that fits into our system. You know, with his ability to repeat sprints at high intensity and his awareness of and timing of the runs and finishing when he gets into those positions, I think, you know, he's been exceptional this year. And I think that, it's really been an attacking compliment to Kai Kamara, because he's vertical and he gets behind the defense and he opens up space. And, you know, naturally center backs want to pull out of the middle to help defend against him, and then it leaves Kai open. So, you know, they've been a great combination, and Ethan, and with his hard work and dedication and willingness to improve and always work on his game, has been a pleasure to coach.
Your orchestrator, Federico Higuain, speak a little bit about him and the importance he is to the Columbus Crew.
Well, you know, I think he's had a fantastic season. And in my eyes, he's a little bit underrated in the league in terms of the notoriety he gets, because, you know, he really does, help our team play our best soccer. And it's when he's playing good, you know, the team plays well. And that's, that's true for the other two guys in the midfield as well. But Federico has the ability to transport the ball from the from our defense all the way up to the attack, and he moves into such good places and comes available in between the lines, and he's really a good player.
Greg, we wish you the best of luck. Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate you coming on the program tonight, and best of luck when you take on the New York Red Bulls.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it.
Great season for Greg Berhalter and the Columbus Crew. They will take on the New York Red Bulls. First leg will be in Columbus at Crew Stadium. Time now to visit, though, with Sam Snow. He is a U.S. soccer coaching director, a long time, has committed a ton to the youth game in this country. And Sam joins us now. Sam, how are you?
I'm well, Glenn. How are you?
Real pleasure to have you on the program. I know it was a little bit short notice, but with U.S. soccer announcing on Monday that there should be no heading for any players age 10 and under, I thought it would be great to get you on. For me, I don't see this as a very big deal. I see this as a piece of education and awareness that, quite frankly, kids 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 really don't need to be heading a soccer ball much, do they?
Well, I agree with you on everything you just said. Great interview. Thanks, Glenn. I think, you know, that you're absolutely right. You know, the kids 10 and younger, there's really not much heading, if any at all, in their game. You'll see a few kids, maybe 8 to 10 range, that will be trying it. Usually they're the kids that have an older sibling that plays, and they've seen that brother or sister heading the ball during a game, or perhaps they've seen, you know, professional games, and they're mimicking those players. But, you know, there's not that many times that you have the ball in the air, even at an under 10 game, perhaps other than a goalkeeper's punt. So you're not going to see a whole lot of opportunities for kids heading the ball when they're in those age groups. And honestly, it's something that we've always told coaches, just hold off on that skill for a little while. It's not that important of a skill for the kids to be worried about at that point in their soccer careers.
He's Sam Snow. He's a U.S. soccer coaching director, a long time in the game, and not only that, a real gentleman. So just for parents, okay, maybe that haven't been involved with the game that much, Sam, make sense of this to them.
Well, it's coming out of some player safety initiatives that U.S. Soccer is beginning to roll out. They're going to roll out a couple more here, I think, before the end of the calendar year, but certainly during the remainder of this soccer year. And, you know, one of them is about heading, and it's just a simple thing of kids that young don't really have the timing yet in terms of their jump to head the ball. They don't really have that great of ability to visually track the movement of the ball in the air, and they don't really have the strength from head to toe to do that particular ball skill. So, you know, for explaining to moms and dads, those are some of the reasons why we're holding off on teaching that skill until kids are 11 and older. And for their children that are 10 and younger, it's not going to negatively affect their child's soccer development at all. In fact, it probably will help it because there'll be greater concentration on the things that they do, the kids do with the ball on the ground, dribbling, shooting, receiving, passing, all of those basic skills that are at this stage in their careers a little bit more important than heading the ball.
A red flag if, you know, as someone who's been involved in youth soccer for a number of years as well, not as long as you, but for about 15 years. I mean, anybody who's spending a lot of time with 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds working on heading, that's a red flag.
That's absolutely a red flag. If I was witnessing it and I was affiliated with that club, I would ask the coach, what are you thinking? There's really no need for it. You'll see kids even at 6 to 8 years of age, most of the time the ball is in the air or it's a ball that's bouncing high. The kids will just wait until it comes down to a manageable height for them, and then they'll deal with it. So for a coach to be worried about trying to teach heading at that age, that's a person that's just got their priorities, the ball skills that they're coaching to the kids, out of order. There's other things that are more important.
And my sense is you think this is a really healthy thing when it comes to improving safety.
I think it's a great thing that it's got this official stamp on it from our national governing body, that it gives this direction to all of the members of U.S. soccer. And hopefully we'll have great compliance from the clubs at the local levels.
Well, Sam, listen, thank you very much. And also, thank you very much for all the work that you've done over all these years in the youth community and for the sport of soccer in this country. You certainly have been a dedicated supporter and have lent so much to the game here.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that. And thanks for all the things that you're doing, helping putting the show out in the media.
He's Sam Snow. He's U.S. Soccer Coaching Director and one of the greats that has been around the youth game for so many years. Sam, thanks again for coming on the program.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that's Sam Snow. So there you got it. You get it right from U.S. Soccer there. Look, if you're a parent and you're seeing kids doing a whole bunch of heading at 6, 7, 8, and 9, you don't have a real soccer coach there. Nobody's going to be able to police this. There'll be people out there heading the ball tomorrow. Bottom line is we protect the young players. All right, now we've got a great second hour in store. We will have Caleb Porter of the Portland Timbers. We will have Shep Messing from Madison Square Garden Network joining us, also played in the North American Soccer League, longtime announcer. He's the one who called Jason Christ being ultimately out in New York. We'll talk to him about that at New York City FC. By the way, Jason Christ is still a good soccer coach. There's more to come from him. Vladislav Bogicevic. Now, if you remember or you don't remember, this will be a really interesting interview. Played for Yugoslavia, but also played for the New York Cosmos. Red Star Belgrade in Yugoslavia, which is a monster historic club. New York Cosmos in the North American Soccer League at the height. Pelé, Canalia, all the great players. Franz Beckenbauer were there. Vladislav Bogicevic was an unbelievable midfielder. The passing set of skills was remarkable. He is coming up next. He's going to talk everything from the days at the New York Cosmos to the breakup of the former Yugoslavia. It's going to be a very, very interesting interview. We will take a break here. Again, we'll thank all of our great sponsors, 7-Up, Bud Light, Bar Munich, the Daspit Law Firm, the Gorgeous Gale, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, and, of course, reminder, Facebook, Soccer Matters, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, and also you can even find out a little bit more on Instagram, Glenn Davis Soccer. All our podcasts on iTunes and also at podcastarena.com. Take a quick break. Vladislav Bogicevic, the former New York Cosmo, is up next on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And I recall the dream you told me, dream you told me.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.